This morning we are in our second to the last message of this letter that Peter writes to the church. Today we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, and just three verses today, 5, 6, and 7. Some of it's so packed that I'm like, I just can't rush over some of this. And if we had, I mean, we've already taken, 18, 19 weeks to do this. We're talking hours that we have spent in this letter trying to work through those thoughts. And I have only touched the surface of what the Spirit can do with Scripture. And so continue to let Him speak to your life. Today I'm talking about humility in action. Everybody say that. Humility in action. In the text this morning, we're going to see that basically we have to deal with pride in our lives. People are going, I don't have any pride. Yes, you do. As human beings, we tend to be full of pride. In fact, we tend to insist on doing everything in our own power and say things like, I'm going to make my own mistakes. Come on, that's the way we feel. Peter wants to show us that this attitude is foolish, it's sinful, and that our pride can actually keep us from the blessings of God. So, church, we need to live humbly. Now, before I examine the applications that Peter has for us in this passage on humility, let me take a moment and try to just define or understand humility a little better. I'm sure that probably all of us have experienced people who practice what we call false humility. You know what I'm talking about? False humility can include several things, like deflecting praise that is truly deserved. Oh, no, I'm not, you know. And I don't know everybody's heart, but it's like, oh, that's God. And not really going, God, thank you for how you used me. God, thank you for giving me opportunity. And I know we're supposed to give thanks to God, but the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And then you need to receive that honor and not have false humility. If God used you, then God used you. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad God used Peter and Paul, and I'm glad He used King David, and I think they need to go, thank you for the opportunity I had. False humility can be fishing for compliments. It's all about drawing attention really to yourself. Humble bragging, talking about how humble you really are. It really happens, believe it or not. False humility can even be falsely portraying helplessness or the lack of power. Oh, I can't do those things. Really, you can. If you can, then step up and say you can. And say, oh, there may be somebody better, but don't be falsely lying. That's false humility. The bottom line, and the funny thing about false humility, it's all about getting attention, actually. It seems to do the very opposite thing of what it really is, because it's not real humility. False humility, when you do detect it in someone, it is not appealing. You're like, get real with me, right? Jesus tells a story in Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. And please don't be bored by Scripture today, and I'll do my best to read it well, but I want you to really hear the story. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence, so listen to the audience, in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Ken Geyer, I have a book by Ken Geyer called Moments with the Savior. It's a great devotional book. It's an older book, but incredible. And he addresses this story and kind of retells it with these thoughts. And here's how he tells it. A Pharisee also comes this hour to pray. He comes every day at each of the four appointed hours of prayer. He stops and takes his position somewhere in the center of the courtyard, his usual spot. As he prays, he looks neither upward in worship nor downward in remorse, but sideways in comparison to the others who have gathered there. His eyes skim the scroll of sins written so legibly across their faces. He is pleased with the comparison. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Taking inventory, the Pharisee is satisfied with the account of his life. The tax collector, however, is not. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He stands in the distance, sobbing. He is painfully aware of his sins levied against him, but he is too ashamed to list them. He knows the greed. He knows the deceit. He knows the ledger of injustices credited to his account. That's why his eyes are downcast. That's why he beats his fist against his chest. That's why he stands in the corner of the courtyard. His only companions, the shadows cast by columns of cool and indifferent stone. But God sees the tax collector slumped in those shadows. His heart overflows with mercy for the man, and his eyes glisten with approval. In that courtyard at that hour of prayer, both the Pharisee and the tax collector realized where they stood. Only one of them realized before whom. Church, true humility is to realize before whom we stand. When we stand before God, we ought to be humble. Again, why did you come to meet today? Did you come to see friends? Did you come to hear the pastors? Or did you come to meet God? Biblical humility starts by viewing ourselves accurately before God and before others, knowing that we do not have it all together. Anybody got it all together? No hands. God's the one who holds it all together. True humility will not deny the talents and the gifts that we have, but it also will not fault those gifts. Jeremiah 9:23 teaches us, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. Church, you can't really boast about what we have because anything we really have comes from the Lord anyway. Psalm 147:6 says, the Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Church, I pray we do not have a wicked heart, but that we have a humble heart, because in that God will sustain us each and every day. Of course, Jesus exemplified humility. Listen carefully to John 13:3-5, says Jesus, now catch this word, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, knowing that he had come from God and was going back to God, Jesus, knowing all of that, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He did it all because he was a humble servant, even though he knew who he was. Jesus was humble at the same time. He is God in flesh. Church, if we can learn the secret of humility, oh, how God could use us. Because it is humility when we recognize that it's not about denying our strengths or magnifying our weaknesses, but rather, listen to this, real humility properly understands the limits of our strength, the source of our strength, the extent of our weaknesses, and our dependence on God. Church, we need real humility. Now, with this understanding of humility in our thoughts this morning, I want to turn to Peter's thoughts in the passage this morning. 1 Peter 5:5, he starts this way, in the same way, and I'll come back to that statement in a moment. But he says, you who are younger, submit yourselves or selves to your elders. Heavenly Father, thank you. May we hear this word today and put it into action in our life. Help us, I pray. Amen. Now, we've heard that word submit several times throughout this letter that Peter writes. And here it is again, submit yourselves. Peter goes on and says this, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Last week we talked about how the elders are supposed to live toward God and, of course, live toward others. And Peter refers back to that in this verse by saying, in the same way. What we talked about last week in my life and who we are and how we are to be as leaders doesn't change for any of us in this room. In the same way. In this passage, Peter's addressing, of course, those who are younger and that they should submit to their elders in the same way that we submit to God. Now, submit is not a bad word. In fact, let me go back to a definition. I don't have it on the screen, but submission is a spiritual act that reveals our trust and our reliance on God. Submitting is really a spiritual act on your part, saying, I've got confidence in what God's doing. Of course, I've got to ask, what does this younger mean? Is that young in the Lord? Is it young in age? Is it young in heart? I believe the overriding principle can apply to any and all of those types of thoughts, but Peter is saying those who are younger, submit to leadership. Submit to your elders. Submit to those who are older than you and in authority over you. Now, I know that respect for those who are older has been challenged in every culture. I mean, Peter, think about it, 2,000 years ago, is having to address it in his day. It's still an issue today. And that issue happens when young people do not remain humble. When we were young, we had a tendency, if you don't remember, to believe that you've got everything figured out. How many of you remember some of your young children going through the phase that they insisted on doing everything themselves? And during that time, the most common phrase you heard was this, no, I can do it by myself. But guess what? It continues. We grow up and we gain more knowledge, and we tend to think that we know more about life than what older people know, because we tend to think they're out of touch with life. I'm going to tell you today, that is foolish in attitude. It's foolish in thought, because those who are older most likely have gained more wisdom than you know, especially when it comes to relationships and practical living. Let me make this caveat to that. Whether they apply that wisdom to the way they live their life is another issue. And that's why I've titled this message, Humility in Action. It's not just knowing about humility, it's living it out. Church true humility recognizes that we do not have all the answers. And that just maybe someone older might know something we do not know. Practically for all of us, this means that we should submit to our parents, our grandparents, regardless of how old we get, and then honestly respect anyone who is older than you, just recognizing they have years on us. And that goes double, I believe, for those who have spiritual years on your life. Those who are young in the faith should submit to those who are older in the faith. Again, just recognizing they have life experience in their walk with God. Let me take you to a second point, though, Peter makes in this passage. And I'll title it with this, be humble with each other. He says in the second half of verse 5, he says, all of you, say that with me. If you didn't know, that's speaking to all of you. Okay? And in the South, that would be translated all y'all. And listen to what he says. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud but shows favor or grace in other translations to the humble. Peter doesn't just say young people need to exhibit humility, but he says every one of us do. Every one of us should be humble when we're dealing with other people. Peter actually says humility should be worn like clothing. Just like our outward clothing is seen, humility should be evident in your life. It's not just simply an attitude we adopt and when we think it's convenient to be humble. I'm gonna be humble. You always be humble. As believers, we are to be constantly wearing a humble attitude as we live with other people. We have to learn to listen to and respect what other people are saying. We can't dismiss others because of your own opinions. The flip side, from young to old, is this. Older people need to be humble also. And recognize that sometimes a younger person may actually have valuable insight that could be helpful or useful. Why do you go to young people when you got a phone in your hand? Help me out. Church, all of us have got to stay open to advice and ideas and the counsel of other people, because each individual person has value and experience that you may not have. All of our relationships should be characterized by this mutual respect for one another. Now, here's a good principle to remember. If you ever begin to feel superior to another person, you are no longer acting in humility. To validate Peter's point, Peter pulls from the book of Proverbs. He reminds us of the importance that God placed on humility, and he quotes Proverbs in 1 Peter 5:5, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Church, if we have a prideful attitude and begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, then just know that God may have to bring you back to reality, because he opposes the proud. On the other hand, for those who seek to walk humbly before God, God will grace your relationships with his presence. The point is this, all of us have to battle pride so it does not win. So be humble with each other. A third thought Peter gives us in this passage is trust God, not yourself. Trust God, not yourself. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Peter says that in the essence of humility is not seen in just submitting to one another, but it is ultimately seen in our submission to God. A humble attitude always recognizes that God's way is the best way, and we need to submit to His will. Not my will, but your will be done, right? The part of the passage that we quote quite often here is, cast all your anxiety on Him. How many have ever used that passage or remembered it or quoted it in your heart? At first glance, you kind of go wonder, what is anxiety or worry have to do with humility? I thought we were talking about humility. But when you think about it, if we allow anxiety and worry to take the lead in our life, it becomes more about us and our thoughts than it is about God and His plan. And that is pride. Our worries cannot be greater than God's plan for our lives. God knows what He's doing. Church, if we live with apprehension all of our life, it shows that we do not really believe that God is in control of the circumstances of life. I want to remind you, God is in control of it all. So how can we cast our anxiety on Him? First, let me challenge you to consider the futility and the uselessness of worrying. Someone once said, worry is kind of like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. What we need to remember is this: some things are just beyond our control. And worrying about those things and those circumstances will not change them. So instead of fretting about the things I cannot control, I just ask for help from the one who does control them. We need to ask God to do the things we cannot do and then devote our energy to doing the things we can do. The bigger picture is to remember to trust God in everything. Proverbs, if I can pull back like Peter did, Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If we truly have humility and a humble attitude in our lives, it causes us to really trust in God. True humility sees us as created beings with limited knowledge and God as the creator with perfect knowledge. So trust God, not yourself. And don't miss this point, because God cares for you. Peter's foundation for why we can cast our cares on the Lord is because He cares about you. Otherwise, He's just a God up there doing whatever He does, but He's a God who cares for you. And if we could really believe that God cares for us, that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us, that is when we'll find it a lot easier than to cast our anxieties on Him. You need to make sure you remember God's promises. Remember all of them. There are different books out there that list. There's a little New Testament. It says it has the Promise Testament, you know, and it has all these. Remember His promises. Remember that He'll comfort you. Remember that He's got a plan for you. Remember that He's working all things together for good for you who are called. God is in control, and He never makes a mistake. Peter's call to the church, to all of you, is to be humble. And church, it's one of the most difficult things to do, because deep down, each one of us want to be in control. You've got to give up that control. Again, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. 5 again, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In other words, do not have pride in your own thinking. Verse 6, in all your ways. Ooh, here's that key word again. Submit to Him. And He will make your path straight. Church, submitting to God first is the first humility step we need to take. And when we do that, it will be the key to experiencing the peace of God and the purpose of God in your life. We have to learn to trust God and then live with humility in action every day of our life. I want to end by singing a newer song. And it's a song for about 2 weeks that I've been living on. And I want to teach it to you this morning, because I think songs have a way of pulling back the poeticness, or the music does something special in helping us remember how we're supposed to live. I want you to listen to this, and then you can join me. It says, "And I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident as seasons change, your faithfulness remains." Can you lift that with me? And I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident as seasons change, your faithfulness remains. Would you lift it again? I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident as seasons change, your faithfulness remains. Your faithfulness remains. And then it says, "You are my present, you are my future, you write my story, you hold it all together, God of my present, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together, God of my present, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together." One more. "God of my present, God of my future, God of my story, you hold it all together." Oh, and I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord. Confident as seasons change, your faithfulness remains. Oh, he's faithful, isn't he? Your faithfulness remains. And it's because of this statement. You ready? I love this bridge part. It says, "You are the Alpha and you're Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. You are the Alpha and you're Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. You are the Alpha and you're Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. And I believe
that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident. Confident as seasons change, your faithfulness remains. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness remains. If you want to look that up, it's by a group called Maverick City. And church, somewhere we've got to get our confidence in the Lord and walk in humility that says, you're the God of my present. You're the God of my future. You write my story. You hold it all together. Amen? So I hope that just rings in your heart, because if we'll let him be that, you will walk in humility. Not just toward God, but then toward others. Younger, respect the older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. And then just cast your cares on the Lord. He cares for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment that the Holy Spirit inspired in Peter to teach us how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to act. Reminding us of your goodness and reminding us of your care for our lives. Lord, that we need that continually, because, Lord, we can get lost in circumstances. But God, I want you to be God of my present, what I'm walking through, because ultimately you will write my story. I pray that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because I have surrendered my life to you, and therefore my story is written by God. Lord, hold everything together for us, I pray, and have your way in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week as you walk in humility. Amen. God bless.